Please be seated. Good morning. I'm Claire Beam, and I'm the chair of the Stewardship Committee. I thank you all for the honor of welcoming me to this podium, and in turn, I would like to welcome you to the excitement of stewardship at Holy Cross, and specifically the annual pledge campaign, which we kicked off at this morning's breakfast. This is the second year I have overseen stewardship for our parish, and in this year, I have had the great fortune to see our volunteerism increase, as well as our financial commitments. And why do we do these things? We do them because we love Holy Cross. So that brings us to this year's pledge campaign theme, which is Walk in Love. Today, I will talk about how we walk faithfully, generously, responsibly, together, and confidently in love. This sermon will walk a path through our liturgy, Shrinemont, scripture, parish life, and 40 years of building the future. So let's begin. Walk in love. These are three words you hear every Sunday at Holy Cross. They come from our prayer book immediately after Holy Cross's very special message of welcoming and inclusion. So it's on the first page of your bulletin under welcome, if everybody can open that up, and we'll find it and we'll all say it together. Just that, like, open in that page under welcome. Okay. Here at Holy Cross, whoever you are and wherever you find yourself on the journey of faith, you are welcome as you are to receive. To receive the blessings of God so freely given of new and unending life in Christ. That's good. And then the celebrant always says, now walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. These words have become so routine in our liturgy that perhaps we think of them more as a cue that the announcements are over and the Eucharist is about to begin, rather than taking a minute to reflect on what it actually means to be welcoming to all as they are and to walk in love. I know I'm guilty of hearing these words and wondering where my children are and maybe trying to also find a couple dollars in the bottom of my purse for the offering plate. But what if we took the time to reflect on these words more closely as defining principles and values of Holy Cross's identity? During this time of leadership transition at Holy Cross, I think it's especially important to remind us of who we are, no matter who is in charge. So first, we welcome whoever you are to come as you are to receive God's blessings. God's blessings aren't for us to give. They are freely given. But we extend our open arms and our open tables to anyone who walks through that door. Genuine hospitality means we don't care about your background, your ethnicity, your class, or what you're wearing. What's important is that you are here now, and we are called to welcome you into God's house to receive God's love. Second, we welcome you no matter where you are on your journey of faith. This means we invite everyone on the spectrum of belief. Third, we are reminded that God's blessings are freely given, renewing, and unending because they are eternally rooted in Christ's love. Finally, we are called to walk in love, to be Christ-like in giving of ourselves and from ourselves. Love is how we engage in stewardship. Stewardship of our planet, our families, our homes, and our parish. These characteristics, welcoming, inclusiveness, faithfulness, and blessedness, are all parts of Holy Cross's identity. It's our own walk in love. So as I was preparing this sermon, I started thinking about what it means to actually walk in love. I mean, we can all say it means to be welcoming and giving, to imitate Jesus' selfless and compassionate way of life. But what does walking in love feel like? Last weekend, I was one of 21 women from this parish who participated in the annual women's retreat. It was a wonderful time, and the weather was simply perfect to get out and enjoy God's creation. So whenever I go to Shrinemont, whether it's the parish retreat or the women's retreat, the highlight for me is going on a hike with friends. Last weekend, several of us hiked up to the cross at the top of the mountain. This is sometimes called the Stairway to Heaven hike. For those of you who have not done this hike, let me briefly describe it for you. The trail begins at the Cathedral Shrine of the Transfiguration, which is this gorgeous open-air cathedral consecrated in 1925. And then, after taking a quick look at that, you embark upon an 1,150-foot elevation ascent in a little over a mile. So you're leaving the rustic man-made beauty behind, and you start walking and huffing up a natural trail that seems almost intentionally uncertain and rough. The walk was refreshing and renewing, but it was not easy, and our legs began to hurt and our hearts began to race. It was a walk in love with my parish friends, but then again, love isn't always easy. It takes strength and courage to push forward. At the top of the hike, you're rewarded with, yes, three levels of stairs to ascend to the cross and get a view and a great sense of accomplishment. This is a description of any old hike involving the physical exertion and triumph of many of your parish. But so far, I've left out the most important part of the hike. Before the hike began, I advised the other women that this trail followed the stations of the cross. One of us immediately said, "Oh, I really want to do that. I've never done it." I suggested that maybe there would be one group that did it and the other group that just, you know, like hiked for exercise and just went on. But we realized that the group was really too small to divide, and none of the participants had ever been to Shrinemont before besides me. So it became clear that walking the stations of the cross was something that our group had to do. I'm really glad we did. As most of you know, the Stations of the Cross follow Jesus' journey from condemnation to entombment in 14 pictures. And if you look around, you're surrounded by them here in our nave. While we walked up the mountain and looked at Shrinemont's station images, we each took turns reading aloud the text describing Jesus' ultimate walk in love. Jesus is condemned. He's made to bear the cross. He falls the first time. He meets his mother. Simon bears the cross. Veronica wipes Jesus' face. He falls the second time. The women of Jerusalem weep. He falls the third time. He is stripped of his garments. He is nailed to the cross. He is taken down from the cross, and he is placed in the tomb. Shrinemont's interpretation of Jesus' ultimate walk in love perhaps purposefully gave us moments of rest. Just when we were really huffing to get up that hill, we made it to the stop where Simon takes Jesus' cross. At every station, we stopped, rested, pondered, and prayed. Of course, what I'm calling Jesus' ultimate walk of love has another name we all know, the Passion. Jesus knew that he would be sacrificed for our sins, yet loved us anyway. And this is how we arrive at the end of this phase of Jesus' walk of love. He is dead and resurrected. Those who follow him are called to walk in his ways of love and find life after death as well. Today's scripture recounts one way Jesus walked in love, which is healing. I want us to look through a slightly broader lens and understand this reading in context with the one that directly precedes it, which many of you heard last Sunday. In Luke 7 through 10, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at my table. Would you rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. This gospel reading is the obligation to obedience. Jesus tells us that when God asks us to do something, no matter how many hours we've put in, we respond, we have done only what we ought to have done. Then comes today's gospel reading. Jesus heals 10 lepers. Notably, given the context of the previous passage in Luke, this is the only time Jesus is called master in the Bible by anyone other than a disciple. The healed lepers leave the scene, and Jesus essentially asks, hey, where did everybody go? Which is also asking, who is going to take what happened to them today, spread the word, and grow the kingdom? But only the Samaritan returns to Jesus to offer thanks. And he offers thanks in a loud voice, prostrating himself at his feet. And the Samaritan was one of 10 lepers healed that day. So pop quiz. Who here can tell me what the word is for giving one-tenth of your blessings back to God? That's right, it's a tithe. And I don't think that Luke is making a mistake in the gospel here. These gospel readings together are a clear illustration of obedience and gratitude. Do what you ought to do. Give thanks for your blessings with a generous heart. God's love is freely given, but fully participating in our parish has costs. During this sermon, I've mentioned 2 parish retreats. I am currently participating in worship. I go to Bible study on Wednesday nights. My children participate in Sunday school. I had a delicious breakfast this morning, and the lights are on in this room. I'd say I'm fully participating in Holy Cross, but every time I read a weekly email or a bulletin announcement, I always feel like, but wait, there's more. There are so many volunteers who offer so many opportunities to engage with our parish, our neighbors, and God in myriad ways. In these opportunities, we are rich, and it takes riches to make them happen. Pledging shows our commitment to walk in love and to be more Christ-like. Pledging demonstrates our responsibility to each other and to spread God's love. As we give to the church we participate in, we help carry out the many works of Jesus: teacher, social advocate, servant, healer, leader. These works are what we ought to be doing, and it takes commitment to gratitude to make those works good. Our founders understood obligation and gratitude when 40 years ago, they established Holy Cross. We are marking this special anniversary with a full weekend of events in November, carefully designed by and for the various fellowship interests at Holy Cross. We will honor our founders and enjoy beautiful music, share our food, and worship together to celebrate 4 decades of walking in love. But perhaps 40 seems like an odd year to do an over-the-top celebration. I mean, like, why not 50? But then we remember that 40 has a special meaning in the Bible. In fact, the number 40 shows up 146 times in Scripture. We are probably most familiar with Noah's 40 days of flood, Moses' 40 days in the wilderness, and Jesus' 40 days in the desert. I am not suggesting in any way that the past 40 years of the Holy Cross have been trials of those proportions. I am, however, suggesting that 40 years tends to mark the end of one epoch and the beginning of a new one. Noah made a covenant with God and built from total destruction. Moses and the Hebrews built a new life in the Promised Land. Jesus emerged from the desert to begin his ministry and change the world. In each of these stories, new birth and new growth began after 40 years, and God's people became stronger together through their faith and confidence in a bright future. Our parish's founders started with a spark of an idea and grew it into the loving congregation within this gorgeous nave we see today. What will we do with this legacy? How will we show that we've walked in love? It is now our generation's time to boldly set our path for what the next 40 years will bring. What is your vision for Holy Cross? How will you help shape it? How will we walk in love? Pledging is the first step to creating and realizing our vision. I feel like pledging is like voting. If you don't do it, you can't complain. If you do it, you have a stake in the outcome. Being a full member of Holy Cross means you are confident in our parish's bright future and you want to help form it. When you invest your time, talent, and treasure in Holy Cross's future, you invest in generations of inclusive worship, hospitality, service, and fellowship that Holy Cross in turn invests in you. So when you pledge, you walk faithfully, responsibly, confidently, generously, and together in love.